Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Mike Chua, physical therapist and certified dementia practitioner. And today we've got a special guest for our Misunderstanding Dementia podcast. I'm here today with Ms. Jerry Manali. She's actually a caregiver, full-time caregiver for her husband that has dementia. And welcome again, Jerry.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here. I hope that my words can encourage other people out there who are going through this journey.
Definitely.
Yeah, my husband has frontal temporal dementia.
FTD, uh-huh. All right, well, we'll go ahead and, well, first of all, where are you from?
Born and raised in New Orleans, and we've been living in Baton Rouge probably since 1982, real close to Tiger Stadium, big LSU fans. So that's where we are now.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. Well, we'll go ahead and ask you some of the questions that we normally get from our friends and listeners. So first of all, how did you end up being a caregiver?
Well, things have been going on with my husband for several years now. I can go back to 2012.
2012? Oh, wow.
2012. With things that have been going on with my husband. My husband and I have been married 34 years. We had one boy we prayed 7 years for. We got pregnant one time. And just a lot of bizarre behavior and a lot of rage is what made me aware that something was going on. And the fact that we ended up, and I heard from several people, we ended up in marriage counseling. And my husband and I have an amazing, have always had an amazing marriage. We're best friends. Mm-hmm. So I just started noticing things. My husband is a very strong leader. He was not leading us anymore, which was very odd. He wasn't going to meetings that he was supposed to be going to for work. He was supposed to be going to doing some other things. He's on a board with our school. He stopped going to that. Several friends said my husband stopped calling them, didn't email them. It was just a mixed bag of issues.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry about that. But for our listeners, Misunderstanding Dementia podcast listeners, and also our Dementia Warriors group, Jerry mentioned about, you know, some bizarre behaviors and forgetting meetings and stuff like that. This is an early case. It looks like an early onset here. And if you are married to somebody and, you know, doctors, we don't see the patient, you know, I see my patients every month. I don't even go to them every week. You know, I see them every month. I do the evaluation and I come back after 4 weeks. Okay. You as a, if you're listening right now, you're married to somebody who is having some bizarre behaviors, some, anger issues, you know, and denial issues, you know, do what the Jerry did. You know, first they obviously went to a counselor and they did that. And then after that, they finally figure out it's more like a medical issue. So if you are married to somebody right now that are having issues like that, go and have a counselor and a medical checkup. It won't hurt. So thank you for sharing that. So
It took a while for us to get a diagnosis. The first diagnosis they gave us in 2016 was mild cognitive impairment.
MCI. Okay.
And then we got the FTD diagnosis in 2017. It was hard getting the diagnosis. It really was. That was a challenge. And once I got the diagnosis, there was so much relief, even though it is an awful diagnosis. But just to know that I'm not crazy, and it was just hard. That was just hard. You know
what? That is so true. I mean, I wanted to highlight that, especially for our listeners right now, or some, you know, our dementia warriors. It started with MCI. What is MCI? Mild cognitive impairment. Mm-hmm. And then it progressed to FTD, you know, frontotemporal dementia. And Jerry mentioned here that it was such a relief. Why? Not because her husband has dementia or FTD, but because you know what you're dealing with now. So a proper diagnosis is very important. So if you're listening right now, you have to have this proper diagnosis. A lot of people there, I teach the Alzheimer's disease and dementia care seminar, and a lot of even the nurses who attends I would ask them this question: Do you want to know if you have dementia or Alzheimer's? And they would always say no. They don't want to know it. And I said, at the back of my head, I said, no, you want to know what you're dealing with. You cannot shoot that basketball without knowing where the actual hoop is. You cannot treat something, you cannot deal something if you don't know what your main diagnosis. So thank you for pointing that out, Jerry, that, you know, we need the proper diagnosis to get that relief, not because you want to know you have dementia, but you want to know what you're dealing with. So thank you.
Right. For that. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So let's see.
Well, next question is, what is your major struggle?
My major struggle is when. Because with any type of dementia, there, especially with FTD, there's nothing out there. I mean, you go to these big websites like Mayo Clinic, and they just tell you there's nothing for this type of dementia. Mm-hmm. It's just when. I hope that doesn't sound horrible. Because we've gotten in, my husband has gotten us into a ton of financial problems. And so I'm in the process right now of selling our home, and I shut my business down. And so it's just a lot. So that's one thing. It's like, how long do we have? We just took our, we used to go to Disney every year. We just took a Disney trip, and my son and I feel like that's the last time we'll be able to go there as a family. And that was a blessing that we could do that. But that's something that I see with some of my closed Facebook friends with dementia. You know, we just don't know when. And I think it was like that for cancer, you know, years and years ago. So, and just that there's nothing out there. What they do is they treat, we go to a psychiatrist who does all of Frank's meds. And what he does is he treats, you know, his behavior. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's it. And it's just the time. I just don't know. Like, I just don't know. And that's hard for me.
That is so, you know, you hit that. Right, exactly, the nail in the head, because when my father was about to die, mm-hmm. we don't know when, you know. Right. I went to California and went back here in Tennessee and just don't know. I mean, you know, as a medical professional, I know when it's there and then, but with dementia, it's difficult because one day they're okay, and then the following day they're totally different. And, you know, with sundowning and everything, it's just... Mm-hmm. You know, is this real medical, or is it just psychological, or is it something going on? So, yeah, I think that's one of the major struggles that we encounter as a caregiver. So next question, Jerry, I know this is really emotional time for you, but I know that this test that we're going through, that you're going through, will be a testimonial for other people too.
Yes.
So, and maybe they can learn not just one or two, you know, learn a lot from you. So.
Right.
So why do you think caregiver, you know, experience burnout?
I think caregivers burn out because they either cannot take a break, where they cannot financially go and stay someplace for a few days and get away, or I think this going away and getting a break at least two or three nights is huge, has been huge with me. I go every other month. I try and go every other month. I won't be able to do that right now, but I go stay at an Airbnb with another friend, not far from the house, just like an hour away. But if I didn't have money to do that, I would go stay at a friend's house,
mm-hmm.
you know, because everybody, you know, someone who has an extra bedroom, even my mom's house, just to get a break.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. You know, this is one thing that we really experience, you know, and see a lot in our groups that we participate, the Alzheimer's and Dementia Support Group that we participate in. Most of the time, you know, they take care of the patient or their loved ones 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And just imagine this, you're doing it 24/7. Nurses, they come in 12-hour shift. Doctors, they come in like, you know, let's just say 24, 48 hour shift. They rest after that. Mm-hmm. You as a caregiver, this is not your, I mean, you can be called a professional caregiver, but you need to rest. You know, even God himself rested on that seventh day. God, all knowing, all being at the Alpha and Omega, and he rested on the seventh day. And imagine that. Every 7 days he rested. And what more for us caregivers? If you're taking care of a loved one right now, 24/7, 7 days a week, you need to find rest for yourself. So follow Jerry's advice. If you don't have the finances to do a 3-day Airbnb, go find somebody, you know, to stay with your loved one and go with your friends or family member. So thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend that comes every Thursday and takes Frank to breakfast. And that is just like so wonderful.
There you go. You need friends. You need support group, you know. So like what I always say, if you're listening, Dementia Warrior and in our Misunderstanding Dementia podcast now, you need to find friends and support group in your community, not just online. Because online is good, you know, there's a purpose and time for that. But you need to find somebody locally in your area. You know, here where I live at, we've got a support group here in Union City, Alzheimer's Association support group. And there, you know, not necessarily Alzheimer's support group. There's a lot out there. Stroke support group, caregiver support group, Alcohol Anonymous support group. Yeah. There's a lot there. You don't have to be alcoholic to go to Alcohol Anonymous. You know, just go there and find friends. And you need friends. You need family and friends to go through this struggle that we're having right now. Mm-hmm. So next question, Ms. Jerry, is what do you think helped you in this journey and how are you coping with it? So
I'm a Christian. I'm surrounded by an incredible group of friends that love the Lord, and they're just amazing. I just have an incredible group of friends that hold me up. One group is called Team Manali, and six people. And I'm on a text with them. And if I need anything, you know, or I need them to pray, I just shoot it right to them.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. This is what I'm talking about. You need to find group, you know, group, good, positive, uplifting people. And I'm not saying go to Christian church, but find a good support group. And, you know, most of the time it's such a church. You know, if you don't have a church family right now, I think this is the perfect time. If you're listening right now, you don't have a good church family, go find a good Bible-based church. I'm not asking you to be a Christian or something like that. You know, just try. And there, here, the church that we go through here in First Baptist Church, they have a lot of support group, visiting group. What else? A lot of group. You know, they have certain ministries for each other. And look at Miss Jerry. She's surrounded herself with winners, and you got to surround yourself with winning people too. But because you are the average of the five people you're hanging out with, you got to find groups that will bring out the best in you too. So
absolutely. And I'm in a group with the Alzheimer's Association group here, and in the group, there's probably seven of us, and three of us, our spouses have FTD. And I go there once a month, and I love them. Love.
There you go. There you go. And learning from each other, you know. Yes. You know, hey, this worked for my husband, this worked for my wife, this worked for mom. Maybe it will work for you too. If it's not, you know, it's another day, another learning. So that's so good. That's so good. Next question would be, what is the one thing that you wish you knew before all of this happened?
You know, I don't even know how to answer that. I just don't know. I don't have an answer for that question. Like, I don't know.
Well, you know what? Sometimes in life, we don't know the answer and bring it up everything to God, right? That's a good answer there. And last but not least, this last question here is what advice you can give to other caregivers?
I think I already had this in place, and I didn't know I had it in place with our attorney. But years and years ago, my husband and I did our wills, and we signed papers where if he was impaired, his brain was impaired, or mine was, then they took over the power of attorney. I already had that in place. I have the power of attorney for medical and financial, and that is huge. So that is something that I'm on. You know, I just want to tell you this too. I might be getting off track, but another great resource that I have is I am in a dementia group that's closed, and it's for spouses only. And if I have any questions, like my husband's starting to choke, I put on there, you know, what's happening here? And you have 30 people come under you. There was a man on there one time that did a demo of how he changes, you know, his wife's, you know, diaper and all like that. Mm-hmm. It was perfect. I mean, so there, that's where I get the wealth of my information from, is that group.
Here you go. That's mm-hmm. very good. Thank you for sharing that. So what's the name of that group again?
It's FTD Spouse.
FTD Spouse. Okay. If you're married to somebody who has FTD, you know, go ahead and join that group. Some are paid, some are not, you know. You got several groups that are paid, but go find that one support group that is really ideal for you, a specific niche for you. So again, thank you very much, Jerry. Appreciate you. But before we close this interview, any last parting words or any special encouragement or last tip that we can learn from you?
I because we do have FTD and because I do deal with rage, I have a friend that's not far from me that if I call her, she's coming. That's something I've had to put in place because we have dealt with that. The most important doctor that I have for my husband is his psychiatrist, because if he got out the car one day and was walking away, I called the psychiatrist and he adjusted meds. He is my key man.
Here you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to, you know, you need to have a direct number to your psychiatrist, your doctor, and everything. You know, this is, you know, a life and death situation. You need to learn how to have a good relationship with your physician, have a good relationship with the nurses that goes to your house or whatever, or even therapist, you know, to know what kind of technique you can do for your loved one. So, but before we finish, I would like to reiterate what you said about the living will and the POA. And this is very important. So if you're listening right now, if you don't have a living will and a POA or any advanced directive, do it now, as early as now, because time will come, you know, you're going to be needing this. And that's the one that we didn't do with my dad. We had a hard time deciding, and it was just an emotional time. Nobody wanted to decide.
Right.
So if you got all this in place, you don't have to worry about, because you and your family member have decided one certain decision and one less decision to worry about. So,
and another thing, I'm just going to interrupt you. Mm-hmm. Another thing that my husband and I talked about is, you know, like we don't want feeding tubes. We, things like that. Like I learned that in that Alzheimer's group is that, you know, do you still want water? They were talking about, there was some kind of form. And so my husband and I have talked about that. You want to be cremated, you want to be buried. So we've done all that.
That's good. Always planning. You know, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So again, thank you very much, Miss Jerry. Appreciate
you.
Thank you guys for listening to our podcast today, and I hope you have a great day. Bye-bye. You're listening to Misunderstanding Dementia Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Misunderstanding Dementia Course, and you can put in 50 to get a 50% discount on the course. Thank you.